Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Casting Seeds. I'm Savannah, your host.
Jeremiah, your co-host.
And you are listening to the only holistic health podcast that uses God's singular truth to give you individualized discernment. So today's episode is going to be actually about dying soil and how that equals to dying humans. And the reason why we're doing it right now is because we're actually in the middle of a bearing and birthing series. I had to think about that, not birthing and bearing. Bearing and birthing. And a lot of people ask consistently, what are things that they can eat and not eat when they're pregnant, or how to prepare themselves and their babies for becoming pregnant and having healthy children. And soil has a lot to do with that. Our food chain, our water, basically how our world is filtered. And it's interesting too, because biblically, God uses soil and tilling soil and dust all the time.
Yeah.
When he's talking about us, when he's talking about health, when he's talking about leadership, soil is very important. And I mean, even the base of our podcast being called Casting Seeds, right? We're casting seeds into healthy soil, because even in the parable of the seeds, there is a type of seed that dries out. It withers away because the soil, it couldn't root properly because the soil was bad. So it's good for us to understand what good soil means biblically, and also what it means for us in our everyday health and in our lives. And it's actually interesting looking into this. Jeremiah and I, we looked at what are minerals, which is going to be our first topic today. Basically, what are minerals? Why do we need them? Just the kind of the overall gist of what a mineral is. And because a lot of people also mix them up with vitamins and all sorts of other stuff. We're also going into whether or not you can tell if you have a mineral deficiency, which this list, I don't know anyone who doesn't have these things on this list. I'm pretty sure everyone and their mom has a mineral deficiency. And then on top of that, what can we do? How can we change the soil around us? One, and then how can we also put more minerals into ourselves individually, not just in the food that we're growing and the lifestyle habits that we're doing?
Yeah. Okay.
So that's kind of the base of this episode. And you can see how this has a lot to do with bearing and birthing, and especially because I'm leaving that more towards our experts.
Guests.
Yeah.
Experts.
Because yeah. Our guests and our experts are going to be speaking more about that. I figured I would talk about more of the information that I know.
All right. So let's start with the information you know on minerals.
Dun, dun, dun.
What do you got?
So when it comes to minerals, we want to understand the difference, especially between vitamins and minerals, right? Vitamins are an organic substance, which means they're made up of plants or animals. Minerals are inorganic elements that come from soil and water and are absorbed by plants or eaten by animals. Mm. Your body needs larger amounts of some minerals, and then like calcium and other things like that, to grow in your body. And other minerals it needs less amount, like gold, because I found out that's one of the 102 minerals in your body. Which, by the way, that's another fun fact. There are 102 minerals that your body is made up of. And out of all of those minerals, right? So even if you think of like magnesium, that's one of the minerals. There are 9 different types of magnesium.
Yeah.
So it doesn't just start like the basic list is 102, but then within every single mineral, there are subcategories of those minerals. I don't know. I'm sure there has to be an in-depth list of all of that. But when I was trying to do research and find out like the in-depth list of every one and then the subcategories of each one, so far from what I could find research wise, that doesn't exist. I'm sure it's in some health books out there, but in general, I couldn't find it. Down to Earth is actually my aunt Carmela, who I hope her and her husband Felix are actually going to be on the podcast at some point. She specializes in Eastern herbs and Chinese medicine. And I love the base of most Chinese medicine, because when you're talking about bitters and different types of supplements, when you are eating things, like when you taste a bitter, your body, that's the first step of a digestion, right? So when you taste it, then not even just your stomach starts, but your small intestine and your large intestine. So there's a reason why we have taste outside of the fact that it can be pleasurable, right? Because bitter isn't necessarily a wonderful taste to most people. But I, since I've learned that bitterness is good, my body has started to crave bitterness as a healthy thing. So she used to work, that all being said, because different minerals obviously are not, like, you can't taste them. In fact, like, minerals taste earthy. Have you ever had minerals in your water, Jeremiah?
Like too much copper. Yeah, I could taste copper. I could taste iron. I could taste calcium.
Yeah, you can taste all those different minerals, right?
Yeah.
So they don't necessarily have, like, the sweet, sour, that type of normal taste. It literally tastes like earth.
Mm-hmm.
So it's cool because your body can sense, like, oh, I'm getting a mineral right now versus a vitamin. So any type of food that we eat is a type of vitamin. And any type of minerals that we take in, any type of earth or salts are type of, they hold a lot of minerals in it. They'll taste more earthy to us. That's why they're really good preservatives. But anyway, she used to work at Down to Earth in Honolulu. She was one of, I don't want to downgrade her. She may have been head of their vitamin department. But I also, in case she wasn't, I don't want to say that. But I swear, I think she was. She is so knowledgeable. But it's just interesting because one of the first things that I found when I was looking up mineral deficiency was a article written by them, which is all, it's going to be in the source list. But I just wanted to read bits and pieces of that article because I just found it so, this was nutrient dense for my brain.
Mm-hmm.
but it says nutrients such as vitamins, proteins, enzymes, and amino acids are required for our bodies to function properly. These nutrients are dependent on minerals. So that's a good thing for us to remember, that all of the vitamins that we get, all of the nutrients, is only able to be processed in our body through minerals. Minerals are predominantly obtained through the food that we eat. And the mineral content of that food is dependent on the mineral content of the soil it grows in. And that's why the name of our episode today is Dying Soil Equals Dying Humans, which is important, obviously, for fetal growth, right? For baby growth, for mom, for dad, all of the development stages of you, not just preborn, but then in life.
Yeah.
Therefore, depleted soils create mineral deficient food, which this is like, Jeremiah and I are kind of heated about how horrible our soil is.
Yeah.
Scrolling down to later in that article, I'm just taking out bits and pieces I like.
Mm-hmm.
It says studies shown then to be able to maintain the fruits and vegetables and grains, milk, and animal products that are eaten today do not provide the same nutrition as they did 50 years ago, let alone 100 years ago.
I believe it.
It's impossible for a person today to acquire all of his or her minerals from food because our soils have become so deficient that in the past 100 years, the farming soil, combined with the effects of pesticides, herbicides, air and water pollution, have slowly drained the soil to the point of non-vital elements. So they have to put in fake, basically what the article is saying is they have to put in fake herbicides and pesticides in order to barely make the soil live long enough in order to do one crop. But also they're doing non-regenerative crops. They're doing the same crops over and over again.
Yeah.
They're not helping produce good soil. And then here's the last little bit that I thought was important. Unfortunately, 68 years later, little has been done better to the mineral content of North America's soil. So we're just talking about America. In 1992, the Earth Summit Soil Mineral Depletion Report showed soil depletion in North America to be about 85%. That was in 1992. I was born in 1993, so that was 31 years ago. Imagine what it must be at now.
I can't.
There's a reason.
I can't, and it's even worse than that.
Yeah, well, and that's the thing. If 82% of the mineral content was gone at that point,
yeah.
I mean, I know they have better, some better regulations, but that's only for organic farming. Not a lot has changed. And because Jeremiah, you were going to talk about GMO microbes, right? And GMO seeds have also affected that farming.
So I just want to, like, go back to the water,
mm-hmm.
because I feel like that's such a huge importance right now, especially in California and a few other states. Water is depleted of minerals. And when water is depleted of minerals, wherever it goes, it strips of whatever it's going through of its minerals. That means our bodies. That means the plants, the soil, yeah. Everything.
Yeah, because minerals are water soluble.
Yeah.
So.
That's a scary thought because mm-hmm. it's not just what we're drinking and it's not what we're eating. We actually don't.
Either. Yeah.
We don't know what is going in our body. Unless you actually like looking at the research that's going on right now.
Mm-hmm.
And then I believe that you mentioned earlier that we're using recycled water in California.
Yeah. Yeah, we are. It's in different parts of California, which I linked a few things about for people who are out of the country. This is a thing here in the U.S. I don't know if it's used out of country very often. But especially in dry states, because California, most of it is a desert state, whether people want to think of it that way or not.
Yeah, SoCal.
Yeah, not just SoCal. I'm saying even the Inland Empire.
Yeah.
You think about all the farming land that we have, a lot of that's mostly desert, all the way up into a lot of Northern California as well. But water agencies in many areas of California have been treating and reusing wastewater for decades. Wastewater is a nice way of just saying sewage water. And then often the piping, they'll use piping effluent for outdoor irrigation and for facilities where the treated water soaks into the ground and then replenishes our aquifers. So they will purposely pour sewage water that has birth control. You can't filter out things like birth control and people's medicine and chemicals that's in their urine. That still goes into the soil and then wrecks the soil, and that can't be filtered out fully. And now it's being pumped into our aquifers.
Yeah, and that's not counting for new construction and dumps and mm-hmm. just metals getting stuck in the storm drain and then evaporating the metals yeah. that are pushed into our atmosphere, and then it falls onto us, and that's getting into our soil, lead, arsenic, cadmium, mercury. All these things are killing. They're toxic to our environment.
Mm-hmm.
And it just accumulates over time.
I know, it's so scary. And I understand why people then want to do heavy metal detoxes and stuff like that. And
I want to do that one time. I've seen them stick their feet in that machine and it oxidizes, I think, or something. And it pulls all this
I just foamy, don't know what's black real. Stuff. Well, that's the thing. Yeah, I never. It's always in Asia, too.
We got to do a fact or myth on that.
Well, that's the thing, too. Jeremiah and I, obviously, I've been in holistic health for on and off for at least a decade at my own pace in small ways. And people are always like, how have you been doing this for so long? And I could even say for probably 20 years, because my aunt and my family has been interested in holistic health. Not perfectly. My aunt has been very genuine. The rest of my family and me, not perfectly.
Catching up.
Yeah. But I will say, when it comes to figuring out these things and trying it, we're new, just like you guys. We feel like we're always learning and doing new things. But yeah, on the water situation, that's a whole other.
Yeah, let's jump over that GMO seed.
Yeah.
Those GMO seeds, they're built to grow fast.
Mm-hmm.
Grow fast, produce. And the thing,
money makers.
They're money makers, yeah, exactly. And there's no nutrition in them. And when they die off and they start to rot and go back into the soil, mm-hmm. they're not giving any minerals back
yeah.
because they already stripped the fruits where all the minerals were being pushed and the vegetables and everything. So that part's already taken out of the plant. So it's just a stem and roots
mm-hmm.
and it's so nothing.
Can I ask a question
yeah.
for our listeners who don't know what GMO seeds are?
Genetically modified seeds.
So why are genetically modified seeds? Why are genetically modified seeds less nutrient dense and have less minerals in them?
Well, for one, they are designed to grow faster. So they produce fast. They don't take the time to absorb the correct minerals, the right amount. They don't build heavy stocks, like strong stocks. Another thing is they're not designed to reproduce. So all those things are removed from those plants.
Okay, yeah, because natural... if you think about a bee going from flower to flower,
yeah.
it's bringing different nutrients from one flower into another.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wow. Okay. That's so crazy.
There's a lot of, and there's more to it. And then just based off of that, so God created a wonderful world because even though like we have these GMO seeds, mm-hmm. we have these things called bacteria, viruses, fungus that grow in the soil as it dies off and it grows and it keeps reproducing. But something that's new that's been going on is now there's GMO microbes, and these are like genetically modified bacteria.
No.
And it's engineered to create a new microbiome because they're killing it off so fast.
Wait, now
they have this stuff that is eating all the minerals and reproducing. And then the thing is about microbes, they change the DNA of their surroundings.
Yeah, wait. Okay. So hold up. Hold up, because this is the first time I've
heard
this.
They all share DNA.
Okay.
All the microbes.
Wait, so listen to my question.
Yeah.
Is a GMO microbe, do they destroy regular microbes then? Are they healthier than regular microbes or less healthy?
So this is the thing. It's only been going on for like, I don't know, I think like 10 years. A lot of the farms in America are using it. There is not enough science behind the risk that is happening right now. Wait,
so they're buying GMO microbes to support their crops.
GMO seeds, now they need to buy GMO microbes to reform new soil.
Okay. What?
Yeah, so they're literally...
So they're making a false microbiome.
82% is nothing.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
I was kind of holding that one back from
you. Yeah, I know. Really. He didn't tell me. That freaks me out.
Yeah. So, everybody, let's roll up and go to Mexico because as of 2025, no GMO.
Well, no GMO corn for sure. They're starting with corn in 2025. Oh, okay. And then slowly
they're on the right approach. And I think Italy's doing the same thing.
Yeah, Italy's been anti-GMO crops for a while. And that's, honest to God, one of the reasons why I want to move there so badly. You guys, in 5 years, you might be hearing us from Italy because Jeremiah and I can speak Italian pretty easily.
You could learn it.
Yeah. We have Spanish, pretty much the same thing. But that's crazy, love. That's actually kind of scary. So that's actually, and that leads into like, well, then obviously, as I said at the beginning, we all have to have mineral deficiency then. There's like not any, I mean, they even said it in that article I read earlier that it's not possible for us to be able to get the amount of minerals that mm-hmm. we need. It is now physically impossible to be able to get the amount of minerals you need to survive in this world. So if you're not, I can't even talk right now because it makes me so angry. Because someone could be going to Whole Foods, which by the way, it's an expensive store. Someone could have a lot of money, be taking care of themselves by eating, and which it takes a lot of money now to just to be able to eat a general healthy diet, which is outrageous in itself. But now you need more than money just to be able to eat a general, like a generally healthy, just a basic healthy diet.
You have to grow it, basically.
You have to grow it yourself?
Or you have to buy tablets. Pills.
Well, not pills. We'll get into that. That's skipping ahead. We'll get into how to fix yourself minerally. But first, we want to see whether or not you guys have mineral deficiency, which 100% of you are going to say yes, because we all do. We all have all of these symptoms here. Are you ready, Jeremiah?
No.
Okay, I just want you to count on your hand. Let's do that. Let's count on our hands how many, you don't have to say which ones, but how many of these
things we have. How many are there total?
A lot.
How many hands do I need?
You'll need a few. Fingers and toes. Okay, ready? Brittle hair and nails, mouth ulcers or cracks in the corners of your mouth, bleeding gums when you brush your teeth, poor night vision, and white growths in your eyes, scaly patches and or dandruff.
I had that.
I don't see you putting a finger up. Make sure you're being honest. Jeremiah just stuck his tongue out at me. Hair loss, red or white bumps on the skin, restless leg syndrome, malabsorption of nutrients in the gut, or any type of gut problem.
How would you know that?
What do you mean? How would you know you have malabsorption?
Yep.
Or any gut problem? Just think about constipation, diarrhea, bloating, food sensitivities.
That's all I needed.
Okay. Dull skin.
Dull?
Yeah.
So like if I'm turning gray? Black and white?
No, dull is more like, have you ever looked at someone's face and it just looks like really healthy?
No.
Okay, well, women, you know what I'm talking about. Dulce skin is like...
I know, dulce de leche.
No offense, love, but you should probably put your finger up for dulce skin. Oh. Like, you know, it's kind of dry. Like, it, you know how your skin felt in Mexico versus here?
I mean, that's hydration, though.
Okay, if your body can't stay properly hydrated to keep your skin...
Okay.
There you go.
Fine.
Brain fog. And then, are you ready for these? Okay, so all...
I'm already at six. What do you mean, more?
All of the results in mineral deficient bodies come from an abundance of health problems and degenerative diseases as well. You can hear a few more of the major symptoms. It's okay.
Our perfect body's in heaven.
Osteoporosis, bone and muscle weakness, growth failure, mental apathy, any type of paralysis, glucose intolerance. I totally have that. Anemia. That's what I was trying to say. Poor wound healing, changes in the hair, skin, and nails that are significant in any way, shape, or form, liver problems are all signs of lacking of minerals. By the way, a shortage in even one mineral in your body can trigger all of those symptoms. Just one.
Fantastic.
So out of all those, I have eight.
I have less than you.
What? Really?
I got seven.
Good for you, baby.
We almost tied.
And that's not even like, that's just out of the main mineral list too. That's not even out of like the 102 minerals that make up your body, which by the way, guys, I'm not going to list all 102 minerals just because that's wild to do. And like half of them I can't even pronounce. So I'm going to try to figure out, because again, for some reason I can only find them on photos, not on actual websites or anything like that. I'm going to try, if I can't write it all out, I will try, try to upload the photo. And if not, fun fact, we have a brand new website coming out soon, which is going to be featuring a blog as well with in-depth studies and things that we're going to be talking about on the podcast, and also links to everything that we talk about. So like all of the other mineral sources and those things, they're going to be on there, and it's all going to be organized for you guys to be able to see. You'll see when it comes out, but I'm really, really excited, and it's taken me forever to do with that little plug. So going back into minerals, I don't want people to hear this and then feel super, I guess, depressed that they have
mineral. There's no reason to be depressed.
I know, but some people do feel depressed that they have mineral deficiency. Like, it's like another thing on the holistic belt of like, ugh, it's another thing I have to worry about, you know? And which is understandable. I feel like a lot of people who have listened to this podcast have had that already, just kind of like holistic fatigue of like, what do we do? And then I want you guys to remember that that's why we're a holistic podcast. The same way, I mean, Jeremiah even joked earlier, like, it's okay. Our perfect bodies are in heaven. And that's true. Like, it's not that we always have to worry about everything, but it's good to know, like, what the enemy's plans are, and he wants to kill us. That's what he wants. He wants to hurt us, and he's going to do everything in his power and will to do that, whether it's through food sources, through water sources, and, you know, supporting basically the world coming to the end of itself. But thankfully, we know that that means it's because also Christ's return is going to happen. So just... let's be living in that mindset, not in the mindset of, ugh, here we go, another thing. But with that, I also want to bring in some Bible verses before we talk about, you know, the ways to heal our body and also ways to heal our soil, because Jeremiah gave me really good, just like a 5-step program on how to heal your soil. And then I wrote up just a little program on how to heal yourself minerally and keep up on your minerals. So here are the Bible verses that we have listed about specifically tilling the soil. And these obviously are not all of them, you guys, but I just want you to be, I want you to be encouraged by being a human being, especially being a man whose curse is to till the soil, and understand that it is a blessing to till the soil. And that if we are meant to then till our own soil in a holistic and a healthy way, then that's okay. And we will do it with diligence. We'll do it in thankfulness that God created a creation that can heal itself.
And what better way? With the word.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Take us away, Jeremiah.
All right. Proverbs 28, verse 19. He who tills his land will have plenty of food, But he who follows empty pursuit will have poverty and plenty.
Genesis 2:15. Then the Lord God took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to cultivate it and keep it.
Genesis 3, verse 23. Therefore the Lord sent him out from the Garden of Eden to cultivate the ground from which he was taken. It's so interesting. He's like, no matter what, you're going to till the ground.
Yeah, that's...
You could be in Eden, or you could be in the world.
That's so funny. That's what I was going to say. Okay, cool. We're on the same page.
All right.
Genesis 3, 17 through 19. Then Adam, he said, because you have listened to the voice of your wife and have eaten from the tree about which I commanded you, saying, you shall not eat from it. Cursed is the ground because of you. In toil you will eat of it all the days of your life, both thorns and thistles. It shall grow for you, and you will eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your face you will eat bread, till you return to the ground, because from it you were taken. You are dust, and to dust you shall return. Which I just wanted to add, right there is proof. 102 minerals that we're made out of is also made out of the ground, minerally.
Yeah.
God spoke it in Genesis 3. Absolutely amazing.
Another funny thing, it's till you return to the ground.
I know. Till you return to the ground.
Yeah. All right. Proverbs 12:11. He who tills his land will have plenty of bread, but he who pursues worthless things lacks sense. I agree.
Isaiah 7, verse 25. As for all the hills which used to be cultivated with the hoe, you will not go there for fear of briars and thorns, but they will become a place for pasturing oxen and for sheep to trample. Which, again, natural ways to till the land, using animals to till it and turn it and create fertilizer. Another very practical thing that God spoke about.
Yeah.
Like,
I mean, they use sheep and lamb to take out all the poison ivy and stuff.
Ox. And yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Ezekiel 36, 34. The desolate land will be cultivated instead of being a desolation in the sight of everyone who passes by.
Again, proving any type of desolate land. I mean, there it was specifically talking about something different with the Israelites. But taking in a practical context of also the world, right? Any desolate land can be cultivated. And there are actually a few documentaries, which we'll have listed below. One of them being the Apricot Farms, Little Big Farm documentary.
Yeah.
They took a desolate land and cultivated it. And even when huge rainstorms came, which other farms, everything was washed away, all of their soil, they had enriched soil that held the ground because these different types of trees and tilled land, basically it rooted properly.
Yeah.
Because of it. And it took a few years, but even in those few years, they had a completely thriving farm, let alone 7 years later.
You want to till your land because it allows your plant to grow deeper.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, we see it all over California when we have big rain. Trees get uprooted and they're laying flat on the street. And
mud
it's because they didn't go deep with those trees.
Yeah. They can't because then it turns into hard clay. 2 Samuel 9, verse 10. You and your sons and your servants shall cultivate the land for him, and you shall bring in the produce so that your master's grandson may have food. Nevertheless, Mephibosheth. Mephibosheth, your master's grandson shall eat at my table regularly. Now Ziba had 15 sons and 20 servants. Because people may be like, why did she pick this verse? It's not about just cultivating the land, you know, for God and for your master, whoever your master is, because we should do that. Whether or not we feel like it, we should cultivate the land for, you know, our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ to be able to feed and provide not just ourselves, but others. We're called to give serve. In that way. Yeah. But also to understand that when he said, you shall eat at my table regularly, right? This was, this was significant because he was coming in and being brought in as basically someone in the court that wasn't important. And he was taken in and being treated like a king next to King David. So it's just kind of amazing seeing that background and understanding that when you eat with somebody, especially the things that you've grown and put time into, there's a different level of appreciation and giving and servitude in that.
Yeah.
And there's a reason why Jesus loved coming together with people and eating with them, dining mm-hmm. with them. I mean, his first miracle was turning water into wine, which is a very complex process, by the way. So I just wanted that to also be mentioned, that that's one of the reasons why Jeremiah and I love our backyard so much, our little organic garden of our backyard. We share, we grow more food than we could even handle. Like, we can't handle 300 lemons in a month. We sell some of it if we can. It's a wonderful to make somewhat of a profit, but we give most of it away. And if people grew their own food like that individually, think about how much we'd be able to just give one another. So.
Yeah. All right. Ecclesiastes 5, verse 9. After all, a king who cultivates the field is an advantage to the land.
I feel like that's like almost a proverb, but it's in Ecclesiastes.
I would agree, actually.
Why do you agree?
Oh, I agree because this is more of a lesson of leadership and also serving with the, well, not serving, but actually doing as you're told from God. Because it's not, I guess it is a form of serving the Lord.
Yeah,
it is. Because we're doing our duty. And it just shows that the king is not the highest and he's willing to go down there also. That's why I really like pastors that actually get out there and like get in the community and stuff like that.
Who do life with their community. Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah. And I mean, that's the thing.
Not that they're kings.
Yeah. But there are different roles in leadership, right? Yeah. There are pastors, there are overseers, there are teachers, but they all still should be doing life with their community and their
same with kings and
yeah.
presidents and governors and all of them.
They shouldn't be separate.
No.
Which, America.
Yeah.
Ezekiel 36:9, which this is going to be the last verse that we have mentioned today. For behold, I am for you. I will turn to you and you will be cultivated and sown.
What does sown mean?
Sown?
Yeah. Just for our listeners.
Like casting seeds, sowing. Seeds. You'll be cultivated, you're going to be recultivated, and you're going to be sown. Like, God's going to plant you, his purpose, his will, his desire. But you also have to ask for it, right?
That's the goal.
Yeah. But that's, I mean, that was such a good one to end on. I love Ezekiel 36:9.
You can tell who made the list this time.
Yeah, I fell in love with that. When I read that, I was like, oh, it gave me goosebumps a little bit. But and I imagine, you guys, if we were able, I'm not saying we speak life into plants, by the way. We don't speak life as humans. We don't do that. God speaks life. So we cannot command life. We cannot command death. And when people say, I'm going to pray the prayer that, you know, people have done this to me because we've had four miscarriages, they will literally say, like, Savannah, your next pregnancy. Yeah, no, I'm not joking.
No wonder they're so, like, depressed at the end of it. It's like, okay, well, that didn't work.
Yeah. Well, and
not your will.
Yeah. And that's the thing too. Like, I was like, it doesn't matter. Like, it's God's will be done. Right.
Yeah.
So that's the thing. If we're going to truly be cultivated by the Lord, we're not commanding anything. We're asking his will, his type of cultivation, and asking just a glimpse of it so that we're on the right track and the right path so that we can have peace. And so that when we're sown, right, we're sown in, we're deeply rooted, it just brings that sense of, I mean, not even just love, joy, all the fruits of the Holy Spirit, right? It just echoes with it, even the fruits of the Holy Spirit, because then you're able to give the fruits, bear fruits.
Yeah.
I love, it's all plants. The whole Bible's plants, and it just makes me so happy.
Something I really liked about Jesus is he is the farmer, he is the contractor, he is everything.
Mm-hmm.
And he always picks, like, I don't know if you would call it the blue collar jobs, like the jobs nobody really wants.
Yeah.
And that's who we are. You know, we are to serve everybody. Mm-hmm. And these are the types of jobs that serve everybody.
It's true.
Yeah.
Yeah, because, I mean, if we do these jobs, they're the jobs that not just sustain communities, but that's what sustains. Society. Yeah, society. It sustains the body, right?
Could you imagine if all the farmers were like, nope?
Yeah.
Or they're like, we're keeping it.
And let's talk about that too. Most farmers are conservative. I think it showed that about 90% of farmers, whether they were organic or non-organic, were
I actually wanted to say something about organic.
What about organic?
I was really surprised. I was talking to a gentleman that works for Sprouts, and they accidentally mixed up the little stickers on there.
Yeah.
And all the organics were not organic, and all the natural stuff was supposed to be organic, or was organic.
Oh, that happens all the time.
All the time.
All the time.
It's just a sticker.
Well, that's why, like,
there's no proof.
Our meat guy, Frank.
Yeah.
He says that organic's a scam.
Oh, I know.
That's why you have to get, like, when it comes to meat, grass-fed, grass-finished. But if you're not shaking the hands of the farmer that grew your food,
yep,
you don't know where it's truly coming from, or even
you don't
if
know
it is.
What was GMO, what was not.
Exactly. Yeah, because it only takes, them, quote-unquote, 2 years to make a legal organic farm. But come on, 2 years?
And it's
to
not
fully
even
get,
FDA-regulated.
No, it is. Well, it takes
how come we have stickers on our meat packaging that says FDA regulated, and then you go to your vegetables, not FDA
regulated. What I'm saying is, in order to be organic, it has to be legally for the FDA to call it organic, 2 years of not doing any type of GMO soil or GMO microbiome, now that you've mentioned that.
Interesting. But it takes so much longer.
That's my point of what I'm trying to say.
Yeah.
So whatever is quote unquote organic, you know, like that's why you shake the hand of the person at the farmer's market, but don't just meet them at the farmer's market, meet them at their farm. Cause there are also a lot of scams where people just buy Costco stuff and bring it to farmer's markets. So,
interesting.
Yeah.
Well, I didn't know that.
On all of that. And cause I wanted to end on
you think
encourage-
they buy eggs at Costco and yes. sell them? Oh my gosh.
So I want to end on an encouraging note. Not a depressing note, Jeremiah. I want us to talk about coming out of that and focusing more on, remember, let's go with that last verse one more time, because I actually want to end on an encouraging note. Ezekiel 36:9, for behold, I am for you, and I will turn to you, and you will be cultivated and sown. Okay? Let that resonate. And now let's go to the last topic today. Which is, what can we do? Okay, so now we've established we're all basically mineral deficient, which means we're nutrient deficient, which means we're vitamin deficient. We're all the deficients, okay? So what do we do to fix that? How do we fix, first and foremost, the soil? And then from the soil, like, and I'm going to talk about like our own backyard. We can't fix all of the farms in the country. We already discussed like little things like shake the farmer's hand, you know, meet him at his farm, get to know them by their name and be there consistently. Or you can grow things in your own backyard, which is a tad bit easier. People think it's difficult. It's actually not that difficult. So Jeremiah, what can we do to fix the soil? And then I'll explain how we can fix us.
Okay. So, I mean, you have two options. You know, you could fix the soil in the back or you could do raised beds, but I'm going to go on fixing the soil. So, for step one, how do we add minerals back into the soil?
Yeah.
So, we're going to want
like what we did with our backyard.
Yeah. So, you're going to want to first till it. You're going to want to get in there and with a shovel and just start breaking all the clay up and break up all the rocks. Remove the rocks if you can. That way there you can then come back and hydrate this. You want to hydrate it with mineral water, different types of mineral water you can do. One we recommend would be a compost water from animal manure and just rich vegetables. So like instead of throwing your stuff in the green garbage bin, throw it in a box and start composting.
Yeah.
And then if you have animals, even if it's a dog, I don't know if I'd use, like, if they're eating natural foods, if you're making their foods, I would use it. If you're feeding them dog food, don't use it. Or if you know a farmer or somebody that has a pig, go get that pig poop because that pig poop is gold. And
even horse manure.
Yeah.
Too. And all of them, especially cow patties.
Yeah. and just start adding it to it. And you don't need a whole lot for your backyard.
But it needs to be like a grass-fed, grass-finished type of animal.
Yeah, it has to be, I don't want to say organic, but it has to be. I don't know.
We're going to call it shake hand worthy, where you're shaking the hand with the farm and you trust them and you know everything's grass-fed, grass-finished. It is truly organic. There's no, how do I say this without being kicked, not being kicked off of YouTube? No jabbies in the animals. No pricks in the animals.
Yeah.
Because that's a thing as well.
2020 people. All right.
2020 animals.
2020 animals. In the year of 2024.
They're also doing that to our fruits and vegetables now, by the way.
Oh, I know. I read that.
Yeah.
We should look for that article and plug it in here.
Okay, we will.
But I think a great place, if you guys want to watch.
Wait, what step are you on?
I'm on step two. Okay. Hydrating.
Okay.
Now, I was going to suggest like they go watch the movie Apricot Farms.
It's Big Little Farm.
Big Little Farm? Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, I would suggest to go watch that and just get an idea, you know. It's easy to bring that concept into your backyard and into a smaller environment.
Yeah, and they actually show a step-by-step process of how they kind of, they created a true, like, nice little sewage system that created a great microbiome that they were able to feed back into their environment. And then there's also another one called Seeds. It's just a documentary called Seeds. And then you can see a lot about, what are they called? Heirloom seeds.
Okay. Da-da-da-da-da. Yeah.
Which, by the way, that's everything you should be growing your food with, is heirloom seeds.
Not GMO. If it doesn't say heirloom on it, don't buy it. Mm-hmm. And then
you can find your local seed bank as well. And I'll put the seed bank link here.
Okay, cool. I like that. Mm-hmm. So yeah, after you've tilled your soil, like 3 to 6 inches, and then you hydrated it, mineral water and stuff, you want to let it sit a little bit. And then you want to repeat that step.
Well, wait. You didn't give the caveat for tilling the soil because it depends.
Oh, yeah. So it's going to depend on your soil. What is currently there? So like if you have rock bed or clay or anything, if you have rock bed, you're going to want to remove it. Mm-hmm. And you're just going to want to start completely fresh. But if you have clay, you can mix it in and stuff. So it depends on your soil. Depends on your location. 3 to 6 inches is normal.
And your climate.
Yeah, and your climate. I've actually seen, so like places northern from us, where they get snow and stuff, they actually dig down 6 feet and they put a glass dome over it. And they have, it's technically an underground farm going on. But so I want to, for step three, you want to repeat step one. You want to till all that soil when you have the minerals and the manure and all the rich vegetables, all that stuff's in there. You want to go till it again. And then you want to compact that soil. The reason why you want to compact that soil is because when the roots start to grab, you don't want them to topple over when they start getting a little taller. When they're able to grow deep and they grow strong, it's better for the plant.
Which compact your soil is step four.
Step four, yes. And then step five is plant.
Plant your seed. And then hydrate again.
And then, hydrate. And then you want to add minerals as you're going, as you're growing your plants.
Yeah, hydration means adding minerals, right?
Yep.
So now that we know how to do that for our plants in our backyards, that we can start growing our own more natural and holistic garden so that we actually are getting more of a mineral base, right, for ourselves. Which honestly, when people say that they have like a little raised garden bed, I mean, unfortunately, you're not going to be able to get all the fruits and vegetables, biodiversity that you truly need. So if you're in the city, even with rooftop gardens and stuff, there's so much pollution from the air and the exhausts and things that you're around. Unfortunately, I cannot give that handshake approve.
Yeah.
I can't give the handshake approval.
You shouldn't be foraging like right off the side of the road. You shouldn't be foraging within like a mile of the freeway.
Yeah. If you can't forage anywhere near, then you probably shouldn't be creating a garden anywhere near that area.
Yeah. That's our backyard. We have like this huge guava tree that covers all of it. So like, it is like a wonderful little microbiome area.
Yeah, we have a safe backyard, which is nice. We're also not really in a big city, or near any big roads or freeways. But now coming to us as humans, what are things that we can do? I'm also going to give you guys a list of like the big 12 that are pretty important that most people are deficient in. The big 12. But again, there's 102 minerals that you need. These are the 12. So there's calcium, important for bone health, muscle function, nerve transmission, and hormone secretion, which people only think for calcium for bone health. And it's just so funny because I actually think phosphorus, the next one's more important. Phosphorus is essential for bone health and teeth health. It's energy for your metabolism and cell structure. Magnesium, it's involved in hundreds of different biochemical reactions in the body, including energy production, muscle function, and DNA synthesis, which is super important. Sodium is necessary for fluid balance, nerve transmission, muscle function, and so much more. Potassium, it's important for fluid balance, nerve transmission again, muscle contractions, and heart function. Chloride works with sodium and potassium to maintain fluid balance and acid-base balance in the body, which is also important. All these are important. Iron is vital for the formation of hemoglobin and red blood cells, which carries oxygen through the body. Iron is also important for energy production and immune function. That's why when you see people with low iron, they're always super tired. Zinc is essential for immune function, wound healing, DNA synthesis, and growing and developing during childhood, adolescence, and pregnancy. Out of all of this list, I will tell you the top three that humans are deficient of. Copper, necessary for the formation of red blood cells. So you need copper and iron together. It also is necessary for creating connective tissue and neuropath transmitters. And also it acts as an antioxidant, which is a fun fact. Manganese also plays a role in bone formation, blood clotting, and antioxidant defense. Iodine is crucial for thyroid function and the production of thyroid hormones, which regulates metabolism and growth. And selenium acts as an antioxidant and helps regulate thyroid function and supports immune function. Oh, I'm sorry. I mentioned 12 earlier. I meant to say 15. I don't know why. Fluoride. Fluoride is important for dental health as it strengthens tooth enamel and helps prevent tooth decay. Okay. So putting fluoride in our water, just because I'm saying this, I don't agree with that. I just want to let you guys know. 14, chromium helps regulate blood sugar levels by enhancing the action of insulin. So people with type 1 diabetes have chromium deficiencies and issues. Same thing with people who have insulin resistance issues, like me, who has PCOS. 15 is the last one, and it's called molybdenum. And it facilitates the breakdown of certain amino acids, like just most of the amino acids that are involved in the metabolism and fats and carbohydrates. A lot of people are deficient in molybdenum. But the top three, if I were to give it like just on a general basis, magnesium, especially glycinate, zinc, and copper. Huge deficiencies in the U.S. and that's because of our soil issues. I want to add molybdenum as well, but most of the issues that we have are from those, if I were to sum it up. So then it's like, how do we get that back? Trace minerals, which it's a liquid. It is very thick and a lot of people don't like the taste of it, but you don't need a lot of it in your water. If you just start adding that in your water, for you and your family, it can make a huge difference throughout the day. We will also have links for that, obviously, in the show notes. Eating a really rich and diverse diet. I know that you guys know that I talk about eating in your genealogical line, also eating locally. You can eat locally, you can eat genealogically, and you can eat, what is it called? Seasonally, which is all the things that I support. While also having a biodiverse and rich diet is what I was trying to say. Because if you are truly are eating things like seasonally, then you can only eat the food that's growing within that season. So it is constantly changing month to month. You're not eating the same things all the time. And you're eating the most biodiverse and nutrient dense foods because it's supposed to be grown at that time of year. And it's local to you. So you're sharing the same, what were you saying before with the GMOs, Jeremiah? the same microbes. Yeah, you're sharing the same microorganisms as the ground is sharing, as your food is sharing. So it's going to be easier for your body to digest and to eat. So this is going to be much more nutrient dense and nutrient familiar to your body and to your DNA for you and your kids. That's why we're talking about it in the bearing and birthing series, because if you're doing these things are only going to create a better life and a healthier life for you and your kids. The other things I want to mention, of course, are really good sea salts, which we'll have our favorites listed. I actually already have a whole thing written out just on salts and sea salts in particular. And to already answer your questions, no, Himalayan salt and iodine salt do not work the same way. It's hard when you have colored salts. Many of them are dyed. I don't trust most Himalayan sea salts on the market. And I don't trust, I'm not going to eat any bleached salt. I refuse. Mm-hmm. I will ask when I go out to restaurants, if I have to eat out, I will ask for unsalted. That's why at In-N-Out, I ask for my fries, unsalted. Mm. that, and I think they actually make them fresh.
Just to let you know, they also salt the burger.
I know. You can ask for it unsalted as well.
I wanted to go back to what you were saying earlier, though, about sharing the same microbiome as your surroundings.
Can I finish this list really fast? Because I have one last thing I want to add. Go for it. Or two.
I'll wait.
Eating seaweeds and sea moss. No, they're two different things.
No, I knew you were going to say sea moss
next. Sea moss has 98 of the 102 minerals that you need daily. And there is a really great Christian company, actually, that I order mine from. Again, I'm not paid by any of these companies, but I really do like their sea moss. And it's a Christian-based company, which is wonderful. And then seaweed also has wonderful attributes that are very bio-dense and nutrient-dense. And you're getting a different type of original nutrients and minerals that, like, the fish eat. You're eating what the krill eat, you know? So... that's what some of the, I mean, the blue whale lives off of krill, who live off of microorganisms.
Look how big he is.
Yeah. Who eat seaweed and sea moss. Okay. So what were you saying?
I wanted to say about the microbiome, like sharing it with your surroundings, the soil and the animals and everything. A great example that I've heard recently was that people that are allergic to cats, if they have their own farm and they introduce cats into their microbiome and they have chickens, the chickens will start to pick up their microbiome and they will start to produce eggs that then make you non-allergic.
If you eat the eggs.
If you eat the eggs.
Yeah, because basically the chickens are eating...
their microbiomes.
Yeah, because they'll eat like the cat fur when the cat comes by, or maybe if the cat poops near them. And then...
the worms and the flies that go around the cat poop, and then it gets all mixed up.
You can actually become allergy resistant to those things. Yeah, they've said that a lot for, all sorts of foods and animals. Yeah. If you just keep them around you in an outside area, and then you start eating the food that they eat and, like, literally doing life with those things, you become non-allergic to those things. That's why, the joke is, you know, like, farmers' kids never get sick. But that's because they're out in the dirt and in the mud all day. But then, like, you come to the city and then moms are constantly, like, scrubbing kids' hands before they come in and eat and, like, not. There's no biodiversity because you're constantly cleaning off the good bacteria, too, that will strengthen your immune system and your gut.
Yeah. A great example is our friends that own their boat and they out at sea for, like, months on end, and they come in and first contact with people, they get instantly sick.
Yeah, they do.
They're just away from, you can't be away from the land.
Community and people.
Everything. Like, this is how we build our tolerance. This is how we build our microbiomes.
This is how God, well, that's how God created us to be. He created us to be in prayer and in the word and in community consistently.
Yep.
So if we're not, it literally messes with our health. Yep. Let alone, and more importantly, our spiritual health.
Yeah.
I hope that you guys found this. I mean, there are very simple answers. Obviously, this may not be obvious, actually. I was going to say something else, but then I remembered. When you are doing these things, like using trace minerals, salts, different sea mosses and stuff like that, don't always eat the same one all the time. You may find a company that you love or whatever, and you're taking it. But the next time you eat it, like Jeremiah and I, we had Celtic sea salt for a long time. Now we're doing a French sea salt. And then after that, maybe we'll go back to Celtic. Maybe we'll try another one, but it has to be a sea salt. Same thing with the sea moss. After we order from this company, we're going to another company. So I'll try to give some options for you guys to be able to use different companies to switch in and out of so that you're getting different biodiversities, hopefully local to you as well. If you can find it local, that's even better. Yeah. But we wanted to give you some options. Also, you can collect, if you live by the ocean, your own sea salt. There are ways to do that. And it's very easy to look up online. We don't need to get into that today.
No, but I also want to state, like, if you're looking into other sea mosses and seaweeds, make sure it's not farmed.
Yeah.
Make sure it's not wild. Coming out of a tank, someone's pool. It is happening.
Yeah.
People are finding out that a lot of these places are scams, and just do your research.
Yeah, you need to do your research and understand that it's also, if you're exhausted, don't get into it right now. It's okay.
Yeah.
Start, remember, day one, episode one, who are you doing this for? Everything that we're doing is for the glory of God and for Christ, for his message to be shared to the world, right? We want to share the gospel. So if we're doing things that are self-absorbed because we're so focused on our health that we can't share the gospel in that way, we can't love on people because we're too exhausted, then we're not doing something correctly. So do it when, not just when there's joy and excitement, but do it when there's diligence, when it's appropriate for you to do it in your life. Ask God when it's appropriate for you to get into these things. Don't feel overwhelmed. We're bringing different subjects to you for a reason, and because one thing's going to click with one listener out there, and that's all that matters. And we're also so honored and so thankful for the few listeners that have reached out to us for Bibles. And we want to let you guys know that if anyone else wants Bibles, we are more than willing to send you some. Our church has even offered to help give us Bibles to be able to give to you guys, which is a huge blessing. And we may even set up on our new website coming out soon a way for listeners to be able to donate for us to be able to share Bibles for new listeners who are interested. So, I mean, even if this whole podcast ended up being for just those two people, which by the way, one of them just sent me a photo of her having a Bible study, which was, I know, that was so exciting. Cool. I will get teary-eyed actually. I'm gonna cry. It's just so exciting. That has even happened, and we're only like 15 episodes in. So, and at that point we were only like 4 or 5 episodes in. So,
yeah.
That's the whole point of this podcast is to
uplift, serve you.
Yeah. Uplift Christians, our brothers and sisters in Christ, and to hopefully grow that community. So before God's I body. Start crying really hard, cause
Charles, no, cry. Me gonna, just cry.
No,
just let it out.
No. Okay. I just want to thank you guys for going on this journey with us and being a part of Casting Seeds. And of course, Jeremiah and I are always here to be steadfast with you, to be held accountable also, and to be lifted up in any way, shape, or form. If you guys find any information incorrect or something you disagree with, we want to know, is it casting seeds to you? Or I'm sorry, planting seeds or casting pearls? So let us know. We're always praying. We're so thankful, and keep casting seeds. We hope you enjoyed learning how to cultivate God's creation from a biblical perspective. Holistic health is to prioritize whole person wellness through Christ. Like and comment on what topics we're casting seeds or casting pearls.
If you found this information provided useful, subscribe to our podcast for future updates, leave a review to help us improve, and share this episode. We would like to remind you before we leave that perfect health cannot be attained in this world.
Only spiritual salvation through sanctification and repentance to God and turning away from sin will give you a perfect body in the kingdom come. Nourish yourself in the word, in prayer, and in biblical fellowship daily.
Thank you for joining us today, and a special thank you to our listeners for making this podcast possible.
Always praying.
Keep casting seeds.